Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondock.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Jeff, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, man.
It's good to hear from you. It's been a while since we've been on the phone together doing this podcast because we've had so many in the bag with our last awesome guest, Angelina Velasco.
That was awesome, for sure.
That's a shameless plug for those to go and pick up some content from our orality series.
Yes, it is. And actually, we've gotten quite a bit of feedback from that, and we're going to continue that, specifically the idea of audio scriptures, the scripture in audio form. So looking forward to that.
That is something to look forward to. So what is on your heart today, Jeff?
It's kind of a subject that you, in a sense, you always end up circling back to when you're dealing in the realm of missions and missionaries. And that's the whole idea of fundraising.
Right.
Support raising. And as I thought about it, you know, I thought, oh, wow, does there really need to be one more podcast or one more article written about fundraising? And then I've had a couple experiences in the last few weeks that show me that, you know what, it's never the wrong time to talk about the financial component of what it takes to make God known among the nations.
Well, why don't you tell us one of those circumstances? People love to hear a real story. And because you work with so many missionaries, I know that you're in this conversation a lot.
I am. And, you know, I think what's provoked it, there's a couple of things, but one of the main things that have provoked it was a discussion I had with somebody who's for the first time ever having to raise support, and just how awkward that is for them as an American. You know, we're in a culture that just, you know, idolizes individualism and independence, where, you know, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps is the mark of honor. You know, when God calls somebody to go live in another country to represent him, and by its very nature, that requires dependency, it just goes against the grain of everything that the way we're wired as Americans.
The kind of person God uses is someone with a very entrepreneurial personality to launch some, you know, whether it's plant a church overseas or do some kind of ministry. And in American terms, you know, a good entrepreneur, I'm picturing how that word is spelled and I can't pronounce it.
Entrepreneur, yes.
A good one of those, you know, has cash flowing in from whatever idea or widget they create, but that's not how it works in the mission field. We need to have partners and be able to communicate well to have partners. So is that where you're going?
Yeah, it's kind of where I'm going. That was sort of the seedbed of what I was thinking. But as I talked with this person and was sharing with them, you know, to frame it in a different way to help them see that, yeah, you're going against everything that you've been raised with, that you need other people's money. One of the things you need is other people's money to do what God's called you to do overseas. That's so radically different from the way we're raised that they have to frame it in a different way to approach it rightly. And so it led me into, you know, having a discussion with them, which then eventually I put sort of into a blog post for our blog. The idea of, look, you have to recognize that when God's called you to go and step into dependency from the realm of independence where you've been navigating, that provides an opportunity for those that God hasn't called to go to actually participate in a substantive way with what he's going to do through you and in you while you're out on the field. And so, you know, from my own personal experience prior to going to the field, the support my wife and I gave to missionaries while I was working in the world, and then while I was on staff at a local church here in America. And now I had to make that transition into other people need to support me to go do what God has called us to do. I was actually loved enough by a few mature brothers in Christ that when I sort of hem-hawed around about what my financial needs were, they loved me enough to slap me around basically and say, hey, you need to be honest. You need to tell us, what is it going to cost you to live over there per month? What are your startup costs going to be? And basically, the thrust of what they said was, hey, if you don't tell me, you're cheating me out of an opportunity to be part of what God's going to do, to be a partner in what God's going to do in you and through you over there. So it's quit stealing my blessing by thinking you're being spiritual and not mentioning what your actual needs are.
That provokes a couple of questions for me. First, you know, Americans have been sending out missionaries for, you know, well over a century, but the particular movement that you were in as you went out to the mission field was only a few years old, maybe a decade or so old. And it was, you know, a lot of the philosophy was new. So was there any real training available for you at that time to help you think through the fundraising component of going to the mission field?
There was fundraising training available, but not within our sphere of churches. Our sphere of churches were sort of anti-establishment, sort of anti-tradition in almost every way. And one of those ways was, hey, you know, where God guides, God provides. So if you need to tell anybody about your needs, then maybe God's not calling you. So I was able to talk with people outside of the movement that I was part of. And I was able to, you know, ask really frank questions of missionaries. And obviously I could read and access resources outside of the movement, but within the very group of churches that I was coming from, being specific about what it was going to cost to go and do what God's called you to do was taboo. It's funny because the classic is the George Mueller. Well, you know, look at George Mueller. It's so funny to me that everybody, that's sort of their bottom line when they really don't like people, you know, being specific about fundraising. Well, look at George Mueller. Well, but people don't understand, if you've read his biography or Spurgeon's biography, is that he was personal friends with Charles Spurgeon. He was in London. He was like miles away from the biggest church on the planet with the most resources on the planet at the time. So when George Mueller says he never talked to other people about it, it's because there were thousands of people going to Spurgeon's church that was aware of his orphanage and saw the needs. And so he never had to mention them. People don't understand that. It's not something to build a model on. And I mean, and it's even unbiblical because Paul regularly says, look, you know, I pray that when I stop to visit you, you're going to send me on my way. And he's clear in Philippians 4:17 and other places where, hey, you know, God's keeping track. You have a credit account with God, and he keeps track of your financial giving towards his purposes around the world.
Even in Romans, you know, the most theological book, you know, Paul's saying, I'm going to visit you guys on my way to Spain, and I'm really looking to you guys to help send me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's where all of our Christian theology is really built, on the book of Romans.
Yeah, it really is. And those kind of things, you know, so when you couple, you know, what's said in the scripture with what the history of missions has been, where, yeah, it costs money to go and do what God's called you to do, and it's a body endeavor, that's all been veered away from, again, because of our culture of this hyper-independence and individualism. And so what we do is then we come at the scripture and the task God gives us, we come at it in a way that's just foreign to the way it's actually been done and what the scripture actually teaches. It's almost like there's this reverse pride of like, I haven't told anybody my needs except God, and he's come through. And now it's like, actually, that's an incredibly prideful thing to say. You haven't shared any of your needs with anybody but God. Well, doesn't the scripture teach us that we need to share our burdens with one another, that we need to live openly and honestly? It's crazy.
There's so much about living in community that we just don't embrace because of our fierce independence. So how are those things received by the person that you were coaching?
They were received like what? Kind of the eyebrow raised. Wow, I've never heard it before from that angle. And so then what I did is, you know, then I just walked through the benefits of somebody who gives based on my own personal experience, and even more, my wife and I's giving towards global missions, towards missionaries, and people that supported me when I was on the field. You know, the things that they shared with me about the blessings that God poured out on them and how it changed their walk with the Lord and it changed their perspective on things because I told them of my need and they were able to contribute to the meeting of that need.
One thought I was thinking as you were sharing about, so I'm going to play devil's advocate with you for a second.
Okay. All right. That's cool.
Because one of the things that happens, especially now with social media and stuff, is that people get into these multi-level marketing schemes.
Yes.
And so all of us have like a real thick skin about, you know, people inviting us over to their house. I want you to, you know, hear from this guy. And it almost sounds like a Tupperware party or
Amway. Amway were the masters of that. I got sucked into about two or three Amway parties where you don't know. You're just thinking you go to somebody's house for dinner and it's a stinking Amway presentation.
Right, right. And so I think that people are so guarded against people coming after them that I think that sometimes missionaries become victims of that kind of overcorrection.
Yes.
It's my opinion that missionaries need to be very, very aware that's what's happening out there. And that's the kind of demands that people feel is on their wallet. And so you really, really need to have a good, you know, elevator pitch about what you're doing, why this, you know, how God's called you, and somehow be able to do this really quickly so that, and then have the kind of attitude that, you know, if this person's, you know, and not a potential partner, you move on and don't pressure them or something. I don't know. I'm kind of shooting from the hip here.
Yeah.
But I feel like missionaries definitely need to have some cultural sensitivity about their own culture.
Yeah, they do. And they need to be aware of the context that they're navigating in. And in that context, yeah, believers take advantage of other believers to do business. You can't get away from that. I mean, it's probably always been in the church. And it's probably always going to be in the church, but it's amplified with, you know, technology and stuff the way it is today. It's funny because I was having another conversation with a guy a couple of days ago about there's a Christian playhouse in San Diego where they do plays. It's actually in Coronado called the Lamb's Players Theater. And it's sort of a Christian theater group. And so years ago, they came to our church and they did this classic skit. And it's relevant to this, so it doesn't. I don't think I'm really off on a rabbit trail, but the skit was basically where this guy was acting like he was standing behind the counter, you know, of a like leaning on the counter of a business, and it's actually like an auto parts store business, and he's cleaning the counter and he's all excited because it's the first day he's open, and then this other guy comes up and it's like he opens the door and he steps into the business, into the lobby, and the guy's leaning on the counter. He's like, "Hey, brother, how are you? Oh, that's great. Hey, it's great that you're opening your new business today. You know, really excited for you. You know, we need more Christian business here." And the guy goes, yeah, I'm really excited, man, that God would give me this opportunity. I want the business to glorify him and everything. And he goes, so the guy that, you know, had walked in kind of like he has this very expressive face and he kind of gives him a big wink. And he says, "And brother, since, you know, we're brothers in the kingdom, you know, it'll be nice to have a little discount on that water pump that I need." And the guy behind the counter goes, looks at him back and kind of winks his eye and says, "Well, you know, brother, since you know my business is just starting, it's really great that you're going to be paying me more than retail for the water pump that you need."
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, but yeah, so you gotta recognize the context that we're living in, and even terminology, like you use the word pitch, and I know what you mean by that, obviously, but you know, there are support raising ministries, training ministries that use salesman tactics and salesman terminology, like this is your pitch. And,
right.
And that's one of the things that puts people off. And some people that go to certain trainings, you know, they really basically it's salesman's training. And that to me goes too far in the direction. And so, you know, over the years, what I've found, and I've heard, didn't research this, but I've heard the terminology was originally created by Wycliffe missionaries. And that was, you know, full information, no solicitation. And I've sort of adopted that. That's kind of how I learned to navigate when I had to raise support. And that's kind of what in other words, you want to fully inform people of what God's called you to do, why he's called you to do it, and what it's going to cost to do it. So you don't want to beat around the bush. It's going to take me $8,000 to get out there, my startup costs for airfare, visas, establishing a household, you know, blah, 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 $8,000 startup costs. And then we need, you know, we're going to need about $3,000 a month to live on. And so you fully inform the person, not just of your cost, but the cost within the overall context of what God's calling you to do. But you don't take that step and say, "So if I get 100 people to give me $50 each, I'll meet this goal. Can you give me $50? To me, there's something there's a line that's crossed there that personally I'm not comfortable with.
Okay, so let me, if you don't mind me coming at you.
Sure.
As a former salesman.
Yes.
And as a guy that's been, I've been through some dynamite sales training.
Yes. Okay.
And let me just put this out there. I worked for Xerox for a while in the business with my father. And my father, who is, 10 times the salesman I ever was, he was actually a recruiter in the Marines post-Vietnam, right after Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the Marine Corps, these guys were put through sales training by Xerox.
Yes.
And let me tell you the things that are good that need to be adopted by missionaries that's in sales training. And a lot of them have to do with work ethic.
Right.
And a lot of them have to do with being organized. And, a lot of people, whenever they have to have conversations with other people, people resist that. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter what the conversation is about. If you're leading to some kind of a commitment, which salesmen are, which missionaries are.
Right.
We resist doing that work. Some of the missions training that's out there that has adopted those kinds of techniques. It's not even a technique. It's a work ethic.
It's an ethic. That's a good point.
Yeah. This is the work that you have to do. Now, I've also been in these ministry pitches, and I'm going to use that word.
Right.
Because as I'm sitting around the table, the guy that's giving the talk makes eye contact with each person and he nods his head, yes, which is kind of the mirroring technique in sales, and says, now, $50 would help me tremendously. $50 a month would help this, save, buy shoes for 10 unshod children, kind of. And he's nodding and he's, he's using a lot of this, body language. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like that's the kind of a thing that missionaries need to resist, is that kind of manipulation.
Yes.
Hard work, yes. Manipulation, mm-hmm. no.
Yes, I agree.
And then also, I do believe that there's a point where you put the need out there and you shut up, and the next step belongs to the person you've had the conversation with. Now, that's also a sales technique, but that's I feel one of the wisest techniques, where you've made the need known.
Yes.
And you're not going to talk about it to fill the silence or whatever. You've made the need known. Now let the Lord take over.
Right.
And you just leave it alone, but you don't hound, you don't use techniques, you don't manipulate, but you got to do the hard work.
Absolutely.
When I was a missionary, I just realized that this is just part of my job description, and it wasn't the part that I loved to do.
Yeah, it never is. But it can become, it becomes like, this is a stewardship that God's given me. And
yes.
If I love him and I love my brothers and sisters, to not talk of the opportunity that this could be for them would be, bad stewardship. It wouldn't be having their best interests in mind. It's almost like, and I don't want to take this too far, but it's almost like Mordecai's approach with Esther, where, he said, listen, God is going to do this. He's going to deliver his people. This is his plan. It's a set thing. The question for you, Esther, is he's given you the privilege and the opportunity to help make what he's going to do a reality, and the ball's in your court whether you do that or not. So, you can get on board with what God's doing, or you can not do it, but understand there's consequences for not choosing to be on board with what God is doing. And, that's where you could go off the rails and become a manipulator or coercive. But that idea of God is doing something and I'm inviting you in to become a partner with me, in what God's going to do. But, and here's what it's going to cost. And what I do, what I learned, and I've never had sales training. I was more in management. And so I had management training and all that stuff back in the day, and then in the military. But the idea is that, you basically want to be an interactive listener. And when you put the stuff out there, hey, this is what it's going to cost for us to do. This is our story. This is how we got to where we're at. These are the reasons why we're convinced God's calling us to do this. And when you share those things, and then you share the cost of what it's going to do it, a lot of times people will ask you, what, well, where are you at, you know, in your fundraising process? Or, well, how specifically can I help? But if they don't, like, in a sense, react, if you know, then I think to push it, you know, and keep pushing it is just, it becomes a sales pitch. And now you're going to be categorized as everybody else that's out there trying to get their money.
It's a tough place to be in. But again, back to the missionary's responsibility, who knows where the person you're having the conversation is with the Lord,
yes,
and where the Lord wants to take that person.
Right.
It could be your fundraising conversation that initiates someone starting to pray about going on a short-term trip, or, you know, maybe even, you know, the Lord uses that because that he's called that person you're in conversation with to go into the mission field. You have no idea where people are. And the bottom line is you have to open your mouth.
Yes, you do. And it is, you have to open your mouth and you have to speak, but the content of what you speak and the way you speak it is crucial. And, you know, even one of the things that I heard from a few people that supported us, and I actually put it as one of the points in this blog post that I wrote, was the fact that, you know, at that time in their walk, when we went to the field and they loved us, they loved my wife, my kids, we were a part of their lives. When they heard what we were doing and sort of the cost of what we were paying to go do it, what we were giving up to go do it, it provoked them to think, hey, are there areas in my life that I can be a little more sacrificial? So what ended up happening is then, of course, years later, you know, a few of those people would come to me and they would say, hey, you know what? Wanting to give to you guys forced my wife and I to be more wise with the funds we did have. We had to sacrifice a couple things to give you that $50 a month that we gave you while you were over there. And it was good for us to do that. It actually kind of gave us a little taste of self-denial that, you know, just everything else in our life wasn't feeding at all. And so that's an important thing. And in the that point that I make in the blog post is that it requires a self-sacrificial choice to free up funds that you want to give for most people, because most people's funds are committed fully each month, most people. So they've got to choose to not do something in order to do this, to send you support. And what that does is that gives them a small taste of what Jesus experienced. And in a sense, that will deepen their relationship with him, because again, there's a shared sort of experience that they've had with their Lord, and his purpose in coming was global. And now they're partnering with him in his global purposes.
You know, I want to brag a little bit on my son, if I could. My son is one of the most generous people I have ever met in my life. Mm. And him and his wife, you know, they set aside money just so they can give it away. It's like, and their attitude is like, who is the Lord going to let us help next? How is he going to let us help change somebody's story? And there are actually people that, you know, are looking for opportunities like that to connect with.
Yes.
And I could remember he shows me a postcard, goes, Dad, remember when you were the youth pastor, this kid came and visited from another church, and now him and his wife are in the mission field, and you know, and Aaron's like committed a portion of his, I wasn't going to say my son's name, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't put that out. You might want to erase this part of the podcast, because there'll be people looking him up on Facebook.
Yeah, I don't even tell my family about it for the most part.
Yeah.
But that's his heart,
yeah,
you know,
that's
and
awesome.
His heart is, and part of that is because, you know, Aaron lived on a mission field as a teenager.
Right.
And we weren't strapped for funds. Fortunately, we were in a position kind of like you were, where we had been a part of the community, a faith community, for a lot of years. And it was just a natural move for us to go into the mission field.
Right.
And it was, you know, we really were fortunate to have all these mechanisms in place where people wanted to help. And, you know, I was, you know, a youth pastor at the church. And so having that kind of quote unquote resume was helpful for me. Not everybody is as fortunate as that when they go to the mission field, but we were.
Mm-hmm.
And so we never really had to complain about money around. I mean, we lived on it. We lived on a tight budget. Don't get me wrong, but my son as a teenager got to see the cool work that we got to do in the part of the world that we were in, and knew that other people were funding it, and he wanted it. And so that's, you know, so he wanted to do that as a grown up, and he wants to set that example for his, you know, three children he has now. And really, that's what that point you made provokes me to think of, is that people really, really do taste what it means to walk in the Spirit and see how Jesus lives when they give of their resources that way.
Yeah, it really is true. And again, I think that for, you know, this discussion, and you know, this is obviously ground level, entry level discussion on this subject, for the missionary that's called to go, you know, just viewing this through that right perspective on your calling and the necessity for the larger body of Christ to participate is something that you don't want to make light of or carry around like a burden, because this is an opportunity. Going to the mission field is not an individual endeavor. It's a body endeavor. And I also think, and this is another point, you know, that I made in that blog post, that when you look at John 17, there's two parts there. I think verse 21 and then verse 23, where Jesus is praying. You know, it's called the high priestly prayer, what I call the ultimate missionary newsletter, his final newsletter from the field, where he talks about them having unity, that the same unity that is in him and the Father, he's praying that his people have, and that their unity will declare to the world that he's been sent. So Jesus is basically saying, when my people are unified in me and my Father, and he is the missionary God, obviously, when they're unified, that sends the signal to the unbeliever that there is a true and a living God, and he is a missionary God that has sent his Son, and it's relevant to them. So unity, financial partnership in global missions, to me, is one of the biggest signs of unity. And, you know, and you knew this too. You had this experience too. But, you know, there were people in my church in Cebu that we were able to lead to the Lord that recognized immediately, hey, your ability to be here and love on us is because of believers back in the States. It's illegal for you to work here. You can't draw any money from our economy. So the only way you're here, you know, to represent Jesus to us and love on us is because there's people in the U.S. that are willing to give to make that happen. And that gives a sort of an indirect connection between the people on the field that are being reached by the missionary and those that support the missionary. It's a cool thing.
We're glad you joined us for today's podcast. Make sure you connect with us in our next episode when we continue this discussion about partnering financially in God's global plan for reaching the world through the people you know in missions.